Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
All right, hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Grateful Dead, American Beauty.
All right.
Okay, so this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, with 1970s working man's dead, the Grateful Dead went through an overnight metamorphosis, turning abruptly from tripped-out free-form rock towards sublime acoustic folk and Americana. Taking notes on vocal harmonies from Friends, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, the Dead used the softer statements of their fourth studio album as a subtle but moving reflection on the turmoil, heaviness, and hope America's youth was facing as the idealistic 60s ended. American Beauty was recorded just a few months after its predecessor, both expanding and improving on the bluegrass, folk, and psychedelic country exploration of Working Man's Dead, with some of the band's most brilliant compositions. The songs here have a noticeably more relaxed and joyous feel. Having dived headfirst into this new sound with the previous album, the band members found the summit of their collaborative powers here, with lyricist Robert Hunter penning some of his most poetic work, Jerry Garcia focusing more on gliding pedal steel than his regular electric lead guitar work, and standout lead vocal performances from Bob Weir on the anthem to hippie love, Sugar Magnolia, Ron Pigpen McKernan on the husky blues of Operator, and Phil Lesh on the near-perfect opening tune Box of Rain. This album also marked the beginning of what would become a long musical friendship between Garcia and Dave Grisman, whose mandolin playing adds depth and flavor to tracks like the outlaw country folk of Friend of the Devil and the gorgeously devotional Ripple. American Beauty eventually spawned the band's highest charting single, Truckin', the greasy blues rock tribute to nomadic counterculture. But it also contained some of their most spiritual and open-hearted sentiments ever. Their newfound love of intricate vocal arrangements finding pristine expression on the lamenting Broke Down Palace, and the heavenly nostalgia and gratitude of Addicts of My Life. While the Dead eventually amassed a following so devoted that following the band from city to city became the center of many people's lives, the majority of the band's magic came in the boundless heights it reached in its live sets, but rarely managed to capture in the studio setting. American Beauty is a categorical exception to this, offering a look at the Dead transcending even their own exploratory heights and making some of their most powerful music by examining their most gentle and restrained impulses. It's easily the masterwork of their studio output and a strong contender for the best music the band ever made, even including the countless hours of live shows captured on tape in the decades that followed. So this was released in November of 1970. Genres are folk rock, country rock, and psychedelic rock. Released on Warner Brothers Records, produced by the Grateful Dead and Steve Barnhart. Yeah, and if you're listening along with us, it'll start. The album starts with a song called "Box of Rain," and side one ends with the song "Candyman." So if you're listening along, you want to pause at that moment, and then we'll take a break and we'll discuss the album halfway through. Here we go. Here is the first song on American Beauty by the Grateful Dead called "Box of Rain." Okay, and ending side one with "Candyman." I'm really liking this so far.
It's a vibe. I mean, I'm still more of a preference to their more, you know, psychedelic roots, but this is still like, you know, they're good like folk and sort of like alt country sort of songs.
There is still some psychedelic elements in
there's
there.
There's little elements in here, yeah. You know, even that warble on the organ there at the end there at Candyman. And I think I noticed a couple of effects on, Jerry Garcia's pedal steel.
Yeah, and the guitar tone on Sugar Magnolia.
Yeah.
That's very psychedelic, but yeah, they kind of it makes sense, you know, bands want to grow and experiment and want to do different things, and but the lyrics on this one are so far are great too. Like, I always liked "Friend of the Devil," and "Sugar Magnolia" is another song that I always liked. Those are the two I'm familiar with so far.
Yeah.
Like, this band is, they're so good live. Like, they play, like, you, I mean, obviously, they're known for playing, you know, like 300 shows a year and, you know.
Yeah, this is basically playing every day.
They're basically more of a, yeah, they're more of a live band than anything else. I mean, they're really, you know, they really paved the way for the whole, the jam band sort of scene in the 90s, where it sort of picked up where they kind of left off. And they had people like Fish and Blues Traveler was part of that. The Grateful Dead were really the first ones to sort of set the blueprint for that kind of thing. And they were known for, like, expanding the songs to be like 15 minutes long, and it's all improvised, and you know, it's all, you have to be in the right mood for something like that, because it can be tedious if you're not ready for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, a toke on some reefer definitely helps.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But I've always liked that. I've always liked that, like, bands sort of expanding. I know the Black Crowes sort of, they did a lot of that. But yeah, no, this, I mean, they, and I was watching a video about how they developed this big sound system. I think they called it the Wall of Sound, where you could be, like, so far, this was in the 70s, and you could be like at the back of wherever they were playing, and it felt like you were right there. So because they wanted everybody to feel like, you know, you may not be able to see the band, but they wanted everybody to feel like they were in the front row, at least, you know, sound wise. And so they did all this stuff, and it really revolutionized how live shows progressed. And now, like, obviously audio technology, they don't need all those speakers. They can do that. But they were really the pioneers in moving the needle with quality sound and really making sure concerts actually sound good or better than they ever had. I mean,
They could sort of use that a little bit more again today, because I've been to some pretty echoey concerts.
Well, the problem with that, arenas really aren't good places to see concerts. But no, I'm really enjoying this album. It's not the jammy psychedelic stuff they did before, but it's really, all the songs have been great.
Yeah, they're good songs.
So I guess we'll move on to the second side of the album, and it starts off with the song Ripple. So here we go. All right, ending the album with Truckin', another song I always liked. Yeah. I really like this album. I like this sort of laid back, sort of easy vibe it has, I suppose. I'm really, really liking this.
Yeah, I was really enjoying it as well. There's a lot of just really good songwriting. The bass player is really on point.
Phil Lesh.
He's really good, very, very solid, but also he's got some pretty interesting bass lines to present as well, so that's pretty cool.
He's really good. They're all great, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
Jerry Garcia's guitar playing is... I always feel like he was underrated as a guitar player, but he's always doing some interesting stuff. He did a lot of, he got into, a lot of Spanish scales and stuff that he would do, and yeah. Very, very cool. And then Bob Weir was just a really bluesy guitar player. So it's interesting, the blend of those two.
Yeah, the two of them sort of played off each other and brought their respective skills to the forefront, and it creates an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, this is a really, really cool album. I wouldn't say I'm not a fan of the Grateful Dead, but I'm not familiar with a lot of their stuff. I'm familiar with some stuff on this album, and a few other songs from other albums, but I have not dived that deep into their stuff.
Yeah, me neither. This album, this is an album full of songs. I always found that a lot of the Grateful Dead stuff was a little bit almost too laid back, or a little bit too, I don't know, airy for me. But this is just a nice blend.
Yeah, it's a nice balance.
Still got, maybe it's that 1970s production sound that I just like. That's partly it. And again, yeah, you kind of have to be in the right headspace for that. And a lot of people who followed the band around were in that headspace, whether with help or not. So, you know, they carved out their own sort of niche in the music business. It was just very adjacent to the music business. It was less of a business. I mean, there was a business aspect to it, but it was just this completely different... almost like some sort of a commune or something like that. It was just...
Yeah, and I always wondered how people did that, because, concerts... Yeah, I was going to say, concerts are expensive. So I don't know where people got the money to go around and...
Well, I guess in some of the earlier days, it was kind of just get on the bus and follow along, because the tickets weren't that expensive at the time.
But I mean, there's people that devote their whole lives to doing that. I would get tired. I think, you know, now...
Yeah, I would get tired too.
So I guess the question is, would you listen to this again?
I'd probably listen to this again.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I think it needs another listen to for me to like really get into it deeper as well, because it hasn't like 100% clicked with me like one of my favorite albums of all time. I enjoyed it, but I still need to, you know, I think it could get there. It's one of those, they're one of those bands that actually has the potential to
grow on you,
to grow on me a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah. So I would listen to it again for that reason. So I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. You can check us out on polyphonicpress.com. You can drop us a line there and get the past episodes and all that kind of stuff. And if you feel inclined, you can help us out on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. Lots of cool perks there. Like, you can get these episodes a week before they go out live. And you can pick an album for us to view and get a shout out at the end of these episodes. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.